to dedicate our learning to somebody who couldn't be here, and her father of blessed memory, Ron Balloon. Ruth joins us every Monday night, and is such a wonderful participant. She lost her father this week, at the age of 91 years. Ron was a dear friend to many. I'm not going to go around the Zoom room again, but you know who you are. And as was his beloved wife, Marisha, who passed away some 13 years ago. And I thought it would be appropriate tonight to dedicate the shiur to Ron's memory, Reuven ben Eliyahu. Tomorrow morning is the end of Shiva. And you know, one of the things I spoke about in the Shiva house last night, how Ron really was a person of very strong conviction, but one of the things that impressed me most about him was his capacity to allow his children to grow into the people that they needed to be. And all of Ruthie's learning and teaching, which we all benefit from as a group, who studied Tanakh together, learned from Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, and now in Sefer Melachim. And the truth is, for me, many years before that, we were both on the West Side together. That's also part of Ron's legacy, is his capacity to allow each of his children to grow into the people that they became. That is a very special thing in parenting. And so we remember him fondly tonight, and his neshama should have an aliyah. So in many respects, you can argue the point in terms of the Beis HaMikdash, but the truth of the matter is that in certain respects, this is the high water mark of Shlomo's career. And what I want to try to do is to develop what makes the learning that we're going to do tonight, and everybody can hopefully see as it comes onto the screen, what is so important about what Shlomo does. And again, we've been relatively critical of Shlomo throughout the first few weeks, especially the act of violence that he engages in. So let's jump right in. The Navi tells us, "Vayitchaten Shlomo et Paro Melech Mitzrayim." Shlomo makes an alliance with Paro, the king of Egypt, his southern border. The way that that is going to be concretized is through a political marriage to Bat Paro. He hadn't yet completed the restructuring of Yerushalayim. Still, people were offering private altars, right? The Beit HaMikdash has not yet been built. And so, of course, foreshadowing what Shlomo would achieve. Now, there are those who are very critical of this marriage. The Gemara itself notes that Shlomo became infatuated with Bat Paro. It started off as a political marriage, was really about an infatuation. Let me just show you this text. This is here in the third source. It happens to be a passage from the Gemara in Yevamos. Masiv Rav Yosef v'yischaten Shlomo is Bat Paro. So Melech Mitzrayim giyurei gaira. So the first assumption is she must have converted. It wasn't the time when they were accepting converts because the Jewish people were doing relatively well. So there was always a suspicion that they were motivated by ulterior factors. So So the Gemara says, no, but that wouldn't apply to the daughter of Paro because she came from a royal family. So the Gemara says, well, there's another problem. We know that you can't marry an Egyptian the first generation that they convert. It has to be a third generation. Shlomo didn't even really marry her. So if he really didn't marry her and he was just sort of infatuated with her and had this extramarital relationship, why does it say vayitchatein? So the Gemara says, mitoch ava yaseira shaheva, because he became so obsessed with her. Mala v'kasav ki'ilo nischatein ba. So it is an important note. Unsurprisingly, when the story is retold in Divrei Hayamim, this part is excised. Divrei Hayamim always cleans up the various failures of David and Shlomo. But we have this as a kind of an antecedent, is what was meant to be a political or diplomatic marriage that turns into something more than that. So Shlomo's involvement with a non-Jewish woman is already very much front-loaded. We talked, you know, earlier in the Sefer about how, you know, Bathsheba couldn't wait to get Avishag out of the palace, right? And this is certainly worse than Avishag. Okay. Vayehav Shlomo es Hashem. Within this context of his relationship with Bat Paro, Shlomo loves Hashem, Alecher b'chukos David Aviv, one of the real motifs we've been trying to develop. Rak babamos hu mizabeach hu maktir. Since there's no centralized Beis HaMikdash, so you have this reality of private altars. Vayelech HaMelech Givon al Yisboach Sham. So he goes to Givon, where the altar was. Kihi abama hagdola elef olos ya'ale Shlomo al mizbeach hahu. And Shlomo would offer 1,000 korbanos on this mizbeach. Rashi says he would do it every day, 1,000. So this is kind of a phenomenon with Shlomo, which is, again, something that is going to become problematic, the idea of too much, right? When we think about what the Torah has to say that the king can't do, too many wives, too many horses, too much money. 1,000 korbanos, whether it's in a daily occurrence or, you know, there's something special about this, it does make you kind of wonder about, you know, whatever happened to a little bit of modesty, you know, Hatznei Alechas Imelokecha. And, you know, this point is really highlighted by Gemara. So let me show you Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed. And I think this is a relevant critique. So Amar Yehuda Marav Maidachsiv. What does the pasuk mean when it says Hodini Hashem Mikitzi Umidas Yamai Mahi Eda Ma Chadel Ani? Amar David of Nekadosh Baruch Hu. So David was saying to God, Ribono Shel Olam Hodini Hashem Kitzi, tell me when I'm gonna die. So God says that's not available information. Amar Lo Gzerahim Milfanai Shein Modin Kitzo Shel Baser Vadam. I don't tell people. Umidas Yamai Mahi Gzerahim Milfanai Shein Modin Midas Yamav Shalat. So he says, okay, at least tell me not how, exactly, but what day of the week. So Amrlo b'Shabbos Tammuz. So David says, well, what about Sunday, an extra day? Amos b'Echad b'Shabbos. Amrlo, no, kvar yigia malchus Shlomo b'Incha. Ve'en malchus nogas b'chaver tafilu kimlo nima. Two monarchies can't intersect with each other. So David says, okay, what about Erev Shabbos? Maybe I should die a day earlier. So Amos Berav Shabbos, so Amar Lo, so God says, no, the extra day is important. Ki tov yom b'chatzi recha me'alef. One day with you is better than 1,000. What does that mean? Tovu yom echad sh'ata yoshev osek v'tarim me'alef olo sh'ati et Shlomo b'necha l'hakrib l'fanay al gabe amizbeach. Your one day of studying Torah is worth more than your son's 1,000 korbanos. Okay, so this, I think, is a very significant passage. Again, we're going to get to some good things about Shlomo, but number one, we see here the infatuation with Bat Paro, which is going to lead in the direction of too many women. Second, right, this way of serving God, 1,000 korbanos, ostentatiousness that the Gemara seems to pick up on. What does God want more, 1,000 korbanos or one day of sincere service that it's studying to? Okay. And I think that's also very important. That balance for Shlomo between something grand, the Mikdash, and going too far. We're going to see a lot of that. Okay. So let's come back to the Psukim. So Shlomo offers the korbanos, and he has this vision. B'givon yira Hashem al Shlomo b'chalom alayla, v'yomer lehim sha'al ma'atein lach. Ask, and I will grant. So v'yomer Shlomo atasisa imavdecha David avi. Again, there's that expression, David avi, chesed gadol, kasher halach lefanecha be'emes uvitzdaka v'yishras levav. David was so authentic with you. Imach vatishmar lo esa chesed agadol hazeh, and you too, God, reciprocated to David. Vatiten lo ben yoshev al kisok hayom hazeh, and you gave him the beginnings of a dynasty, something that David had yearned for, but something that had never been achieved before, something that Shaul, David's predecessor, did not have. V'yata Hashem Elokai atayim lach tesav techatach as David avi. V'anochi na'ar katon lo eda tesvavo. I'm inadequate to the task. V'avdecha besoch amcha, I am within the Jewish people. Asher bachar ta'amrav, asher lo yimanev lo yisafer meirov. A nation, a multitude so great that they cannot be counted. Any significance to Shlomo referring to the Jewish people in this way? Asher lo yimanev lo yisafer meirov. What does that harken back to?
I think it's like what he's doing. Too many women, too much money, too many horses.
Nice. What was the end of Sefer Shmuel? What grave sin?
The feet come to the people. Census.
Nice. So Shlomo...
But it also sounds like Abraham, the promises made to Abraham.
No question. Right? And in many ways, David's sin was because God doesn't want the Jewish people to be counted, right? So Shlomo is subtly alluding to the fact that he knows that that was a mistake. That can't be done. Very good. Asher lo yimanev lo yisafer meirov. Okay. Back to the text. Okay. So Shlomo now makes his request. V'nasata la'avdecha. What I need more than anything else is a lev shomea. I need a discerning heart, lishbodes amcha, to properly judge the people. Havin ben tov l'ra, ki miyuchal lishbodes amcha hakaved hazeh. Because the task is too great for any one person. And God is delighted. Ve'itav ha'davar b'nei Adonai ki sha'al Shlomo es ha'davar hazeh. God was very glad that Shlomo requested this and this in particular. So, Vayomer Elohim Elav, Yana Asher Sha'alta Sadavar Azeh, V'lo Sha'alta Lecha Yamim Rabim. It's not like you asked personally for long life. V'lo Sha'alta Lecha Osher, you didn't ask for wealth. V'lo Sha'alta Nefesh Oivecha, nor political dominion. V'sha'alta Lecha Havin Lishma Mishpat, you wanted to understand justice, to be a better and more righteous king. Hinei asisi kidvarecha. Hinei nasati lechalev chacham v'navon. Asher kamocha lo hay lefanecha v'acharecha lo yakum kamocha. You will be the wisest person who ever lived. More than Moshe, more than Avram, more than Yitzchak, more than Yaakov, more than Aharon, more than David. V'gam asher lo sha'alta nasati lach. And that which you didn't ask for, I will also grant you. Gam osher, wealth, gam kavod asher lo yachamocha ish b'milachim kol yamecha. More so than any other king, if not any other person. V'im teilech v'drachai lishmor chukai, u'mitzvosai kasher halach David avicha, v'arach dies yamecha. And if you shall remain loyal to me, and walk in the true paths of your father David, then I shall elongate your life. Okay. So God is thrilled with the request. And he tells him he's going to give it to him. And then he says, and you know what you didn't ask for, what you might have asked for, but you didn't ask for? Wealth, glory, long life. I'm going to make those available to you as well. But for that, you have to walk in the path of David, your father. Okay, let's take things stepwise. Why is God so pleased that Shlomo made this request, of all requests? Right. Scarcely in Tanakh do you see God have a more positive response to something. This is like the greatest thing ever to ask for. Eva.
It doesn't show he cares about leaving them, ruling as people with justice and fairness. And hey, that's a good thing for a king to do.
Okay, beautifully done. Beautifully done. Anybody else? Eva, that was excellent. Who can place it from a narrative standpoint within Sefer Melachim? Shlomo is asking for the wisdom to make the best possible choices for the people. Right, this isn't Perek Aleph, this is already Perek Gimel. We're not that deep in, but we've got more than our toes wet. Sister?
Well, I think it was last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, where he went on a killing spree. So maybe that goes back to our conversation from, I guess it was last week, with the way you're looking at me, that maybe that wasn't the most judgment-filled consecutive decisions.
Okay, so I think that there's a very important point that Elisheva is making. Maybe Shlomo is demonstrating some humility. And he recognizes that these are really complicated choices and he needs help. He wants divine assistance, wisdom. The wiser a person is, the more that they realize how complicated choices are. Oh, it's not obvious very often what the right thing to do is. And this is important. Rosh Shlomo is demonstrating that he needs help. Okay. Elisheva, I think that's the critical point, building off of what Eva said. So God says, okay, so not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you unfathomable, unprecedented wisdom. But I'm also going to give you some things you didn't ask for. Wealth, prestige, also in an unprecedented way, at least amongst kings. Okay, let's get some reflections on that. Why is God giving this to him? Herb.
Doesn't it complicate his life? I mean, it gives him reason to become tempted beyond the good judgment that he was looking for. So he's being tempted, in effect, by God with all these goodies.
Yeah, to see if he could use the wisdom that he's giving him.
In a word, there's a catch. God says you asked for the right thing. And I'm going to give it to you a plenty. But nothing's free. And you're going to be tested. Because that's what it is. Wealth, prestige, power. A person is constantly put in a situation where they have to exercise that most critical but also most difficult of virtues, which is self-discipline. And Shlomo has already demonstrated a weakness for excess. And in this response of God is the central challenge of Shlomo's life. I will give you all the wisdom there is to be had in this world. But let's see if that's enough. Because you can have all of the wisdom and all of the knowledge, but if you can't discipline yourself, it's worth nothing. It comes back to very simple things in the end. Shlomo's entire literature, Mishle and Kohelet, it's all about this struggle. Hirbeiti v'osafti chochmal kol ha'yesher haya lefanai b'Yerushalayim. But v'yosif das, yosif machov, the more I knew, the more I was in pain. Shlomo lives in a certain sense a tortured existence between these two poles, and we're going to talk about that. So Shlomo is uniquely gifted and blessed, but he's uniquely challenged. And we have indications already in the Psukim in this chapter that Shlomo is specifically vulnerable to these kinds of challenges. 1,000 korbanos a day, God says, one day, David, of your Torah study was worth more than these korbanos ever were. And how did this chapter begin? With his infatuation with a non-Jewish woman, with Bas Paro, possibly in violation of the Torah. Point is, he is vulnerable. He is at risk. And we're going to see exactly how this is going to have to play itself out. Okay, so Shlomo has gotten his answer, and right now things are looking good. Vayikat Shlomo v'hinei chalom. Shlomo wakes up and behold, it is a dream. The only other time in Tanakh where we have that expression, Vayikat v'hinei chalom.
Paro.
Excellent. What's the context? Vayikat paro v'hinei chalom. What's the context? When do we say that? What did Paro dream? Vayikatz Paro v'hinei chalom.
The famine and the feast.
So the message is, did Paro have a good dream or a bad dream? And the answer is both. And that's exactly the predicate that we're suggesting. Shlomo had a dream and there was a lot of good, but there's also a great challenge. Who interpreted Paro's dream? Yosef, right? What did Paro say about Yosef? Ein chacham v'navon kamocha. There will be nobody ever as wise as you. What are we told here? That Shlomo has a lev chacham v'navon. Torah is telling us, go back to that story. Okay. Now the key to appreciating that story, and this is much to the credit of the Ramban, Yosef is cloaked in greater power and safer bracious than any other person in the entire Torah. Nobody ever has as much power in the Torah as Yosef does in safer bracious. He is running the largest economy in the world. And the Ramban comments, you know, the remarkable thing about Yosef is there are no offshore accounts. There's no money that's disappearing. Everything is done to the letter and to the T. It's the discipline of Yosef. The discipline of Yosef. How does Shlomo describe himself in this chapter as a na'ar? And that's how Yosef started out as well, the Hunar, but he was able to discipline himself. Ashes Potiphar, Bas Paro. The question is, can Shlomo be a Yosef? Can he be a Chacham and a Ravon? Can he be cloaked in enormous, majestic powers, but retain his self-discipline, or will he be overcome by that? That's the question. Mom.
Do we understand this to be a dream that Shlomo initiated, or do we understand this to be some kind of nevuah that he experienced? The reason I'm asking is because if it's a dream, it kind of makes sense, you know, the conflict that well, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm also going to give you wealth. If it's a dream and Shlomo is the creator of the dream, it makes sense. Well, it sounds plausible, but if it's a nevuah and God says, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm also going to give you great wealth, it sounds not so generous.
Well, can it be both? In other words, there is a certain kind of nevuah which is given through the form of a dream. So I think that's a very important observation, Mom, that let's say it's right there at the interface. This is something that Shlomo is dreaming, but dreaming in a prophetic mode, where he's, let's say, God is enabling him to understand his destiny and his challenges. And I think that you see right away that Shlomo begins on the right foot. Not just because he asked for a Lev Shomaya, but let's take a look here. What does he do? It's maybe even clearer in the Reyomim. But Vayikat Shlomo v'nei Chalom, Vayavo Yerushalayim. He goes back from Givon to Yerushalayim. Vayamo lifnei Aron Brit Adonai, Vayal Olot, Vayas Shlamim, Vayas Mishtelechol Abadav. So he brings Korbanos in Yerushalayim, and he includes in the celebration all of his Avadim. When the story is told in Divrei Hayamim, it's the following: Vayavo Shlomo leBama Asher b'Givon Yerushalayim b'fnei Ol Moed vayimloch al Yisrael. So Shlomo takes the Bama, the Mizbeach that was in Givon, and moves it to Yerushalayim. Okay? In other words, David had brought the Aron to Yerushalayim, but the Mizbeach was still in Givon. So Shlomo disassembles that, and he brings the Mizbeach to Yerushalayim. In other words, he's taking a step in the right direction of building the Beis HaMikdash. Now remember, where the Perek started was, the Navi seemed to make a very strong critique. What did Shlomo do? He married, or became infatuated with, Bas Paro before repairing Yerushalayim. So now, at the end of the dream, Shlomo realizes, okay, and he takes the Mizbeach from Givon, and he moves it to Yerushalayim. What did God tell him? Go in the path of David, your father. What was the path of David, his father? Move things to Yerushalayim. So Shlomo is heading in the right direction here. Okay? A chapter that starts in the wrong direction, the direction of Bas Paro, is now in the right direction. He's setting up the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So what I'd like to suggest here is that what we have structurally is a chapter that begins with Shlomo's attachment to Bas Paro, a section that concludes with his beginning the process of actually building the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And it says, Vayehav Shlomo es Hashem, Vayichatein Shlomo es Bas Paro, es Paro. Shlomo is sort of caught between heaven and earth, if you will, between these great, these grand visions of connecting to God and some very human elements to him. And that's going to be the challenge for him. Is this divine-like wisdom, the Lev Chacham V'Navon, versus the Osher and the Kavod and the Nashim? And that's going to be a struggle. And I think the terms of it are laid out right here. Who's the one who got it right? Yosef is the one who got it right. Ein Chacham V'Navon Kamocha, he started off as a nar. He disciplined himself, he internalized that wisdom, and became a great man. First by disciplining himself, Vayimain, Ishes Potiphar. Does Shlomo have that? That to me is the central question. Can he be a Yosef, cloaked in enormous power, blessed with enormous wisdom, but above all with the self-control to make the right choices? Herb.
For one thing, you have to give him credit that he moves immediately in the right direction by building or starting to build in Jerusalem. By recognizing his cohorts and feasting with them. But you also have to recognize that he speaks with God. He thinks of God. Joseph didn't do that. Joseph was a very politically oriented individual. You don't have that much of a relationship between Joseph and God. And I think that makes it substantial difference between.
Okay. Agreed. Points one and two. I think he does need credit. He should, as we said, he should be credited for moving direction of Yerushalayim. He is including his avadim. I think it's very important. I think Yosef's relationship with God is interesting. Nobody talks about God more than Yosef. He gets out of jail, and Paro says, "I hear that you're uniquely wise," and he says, "Bil Adai, it's not me. Elokim Yaneh Shlom Paro." Even before that, with the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Ofim, when they don't look right, and he says, "Hello, Elokim Pitronim Saprun Ali." When he meets the brothers, they don't know it's Yosef yet. He says, "Es Elokim Ani Arei." When the brothers apologize to him at the end, "Lo Atem Shlachtam Usyehena Ki Ho Elokim." So, Herb, your point is very well taken. He doesn't have that kind of direct prophecy, or what my mother would call, you know, dream prophecy. He has this kind of divine inspiration in terms of being able to listen to people. But God is constantly on his mind. I'm always fascinated in terms of Yosef's transition in this way. Remember, he started his life by dreaming of himself as a godlike figure. Everybody was bowing down to him. And then he's humbled in life, and he goes down into the boar twice, and he becomes much more conscious of God. And that becomes sort of his defining quality. So Shlomo does have a more direct form of communication. Does that mean the relationship is stronger? It's an interesting question. Because Yosef is deeply anchored in that relationship with God. If Shlomo could live up to Yosef, he would be a great success. Can he? Okay, comments. Questions.
maybe it's obvious, but it wasn't obvious to me until you know that he becomes obsessed or falls in love with Bhatpara. It's the same challenge. It is the same story. You know, Yosef was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and he behaved in a certain way, and now Shlomo was tempted by another Egyptian woman, and how he handles himself. So it's round two of the Egyptian women.
Yes, exactly right. That becomes the central test. Will he have the most important form of wisdom, which is the wisdom of self-discipline? And he will be challenged by excess. That's the question. Okay, so we'll hold it up there. Next week we'll do the famous story, the interpretation of the splitting the baby. An example of Shlomo's wisdom, so to speak, or his slave Shomea. We'll take a look at that next week and continue on that exploration of Shlomo's character. Okay, I want to wish everybody a wonderful night. Thank you, as always.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.